Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Bill Welsh guides us through the New Testament book of Acts. Now to Pastor Bill.
Hi, this is Pastor Bill, and welcome to our study through the Word in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 24 today. You know, a little while back, I had my day in court, and I was ready, rehearsed, evidence in order, photos, testimony, prepared to fight for justice. The judge called my name, and I answered, "Here, Your Honor." And then the name of the officer who had written the citation was called. No answer. Then again, no answer. Then the judge looked at me, and he said, "Mr. Welsh, your case is dismissed. You are free to go." That was easy. Well, it was not that easy for Paul. His trial would be stretched out over several years in several cities from Jerusalem to Caesarea to Rome. And today, here in chapter 24, we pick up the trial in its second phase in Caesarea. The opening of this chapter tells us that Paul has been waiting for 5 days for his accusers from Jerusalem to arrive. That posse that had sworn not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul must be getting really weak by now if they're still keeping those hasty vows. So the prosecution is invited to speak. Ananias, the high priest, is there, the Jewish elders, and a spokesman named Tertullus, probably a prosecutor, a skilled lawyer. They have lawyered up, as they say, for this trial. Or Tertullus begins with common flattery toward Felix in verses 2 to 4. And then in verses 5 to 9, he goes on the attack. Notice the accusations, the inflammatory remarks, and even the name-calling this lawyer employs in railing against Paul. He calls him a plague, a rioter, a ringleader of a rebel sect, and one who profanes the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Your basic evil man, this Paul. Tertullus speaks. The Jewish elders agree. And now Paul steps up to defend himself in verses 10 to 21. And he starts with a compliment as well. But this one is more than flattery. It's based on the fact that Paul knows that Felix has been in civil leadership in Israel for many, many years. And he understands the Jewish culture and their customs. So based on that, Paul says, "I cheerfully make my defense." And then Paul flatly denies the accusations of Tertullus. But then in verse 14 and following, he begins to identify himself as a follower of, we've heard this before, a follower of the way. Another way of saying, I'm a Christian, a follower of and a servant of Jesus Christ. Though he doesn't use the name Jesus, what Paul is doing in this opening statement is demonstrating to Felix that he and his accusers have a mere difference of opinion on some serious theological points. "But," he says, "I was not arguing in the temple, I was not stirring up the crowd, and my accusers know that." Paul tells them, "I believe everything in the law and the prophets, and I hold the same hope these men do, the hope of the resurrection." And then he tells Felix in verse 16, "So I always take great pains to have a clear conscience toward God and man." After that, in verses 17 to 21, Paul explains what actually happened at the temple in Jerusalem that day when the riot broke out. It's pretty ironic. Paul says he was merely there keeping a Jewish vow and delivering an offering and bringing alms for the poor when the mob spotted him and decided to do away with him. He was blessing his nation when they pounced on him. Now, Paul seems to look around the crowd and notice that the eyewitnesses are not there. They're not even in the crowd. He says in verse 21 that the only thing they really have against him is his belief and declaration concerning the resurrection of the dead. He says, quote, "That's why I am on trial before you here this day," end quote. Felix, whom verse 22 says had a rather accurate knowledge of the way, he stops the proceedings at that point. He realized that there was an impasse, and so he decides to wait until his Roman colleague, Lysias, the military commander from Jerusalem, can arrive so he can get his testimony about what really happened that day at the temple. And Felix also extends kindness and courtesy to Paul by allowing him to have friends and visitors who would bring him supplies, walk around without chains. He even allows him that freedom, possibly there in the Roman compound. Paul was treated with dignity in that stronghold, and I think that's remarkable. And get this. Felix introduces his wife to Paul and actually asked Paul to share his faith in Jesus Christ with him and with his wife. So Paul goes deep. He reasons, and that means he dialogues. He reasons with Felix and his wife about righteousness, self-control, and judgment, all of which are touchy topics with a powerful politician like Felix. And he seems to touch a nerve with the governor, who in verse 25 says he gets alarmed and he sends Paul away until he has a more convenient time to deal with such personal matters. But verse 26 tells us Felix was actually hoping for Paul to slip him some cash as well, maybe a bribe. We read there that Felix sent for Paul often and conversed with him. This powerful man seems hungry for spiritual things and even appears to some degree to establish a friendship with the apostle Paul, his prisoner. Well, Paul never bribes Felix. As far as we know, Felix never converts, and Paul spends more than 2 years waiting for a verdict. And he even becomes a bit of a political pawn for Felix after a while. So you see, verse 27 tells us that Felix wanted to stay on the good side of the Jewish leaders, so he left Paul in prison. No longer the praetorium, now it appears to be prison. Well, before long, Felix's term as governor is over, and a man named Porcius Festus takes over. Remember him. He's a key player in the next leg of Paul's amazing journey. This chapter reads so fast, it's easy to forget that this spreads out so far, over more than 2 years. Paul will write some letters while he's here, using his time for the work of the gospel. He will share his faith when and where he can. I think the most profound statements in this chapter are in verses 15 to 16, where Paul says, in spite of this current situation that he's in, he says, I have hope in God. And he says, I take pains to have a clear conscience toward God and man. May we live with those same values and priorities, to continue to hope in God and to strive to live with a clear conscience toward God and the people around us. Put yourself in Paul's sandals as you read about his day in court there in chapter 24, and stand in those sandals firmly, confidently, and with solid hope in God, and share his gospel anytime you can. Talk about Jesus. Talk about his death. Talk about his resurrection. Talk about his love for every soul that you can. Just like Paul did, in all of its fullness, share the gospel every chance you have. May God bless you, fill you with his Spirit, and use you. Have fun studying chapter 24. God bless you.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Bill Welsh is the senior pastor of Refuge in Huntington Beach, California. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.